Welcome to our divine office this beautiful night. Let us celebrate these scriptures and listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit in the words of our inspired human authors. Let us learn how to pray. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. In most places in the U.S., one of them, we have a great optional memorial, Our Lady of Lourdes. Come, let us sing to the Lord as we celebrate this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us sing to the Lord as we celebrate this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. The dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us sing to the Lord as we celebrate this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us sing to the Lord as we celebrate this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us sing to the Lord as we celebrate this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us sing to the Lord as we celebrate this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us sing to the Lord as we celebrate this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have some great psalms to pray after our brief hymn. Ye who own the faith of Jesus, sing the wonders that were done, when the love of God the Father over our sin the victory won, when he made the Virgin Mary, mother of his only Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed were the chosen people out of whom the Lord did come. Blessed was the land of promise, fashioned for his earthly home. But more blessed far the mother, she who bore him in her womb. Hail Mary, full of grace, once forth let all faithful people tell the honor of her name. Let the church in horror foreshadowed part in her thanksgiving claim. What Christ's mother sang in gladness, let Christ's people sing the same. Hail Mary, full of grace. Praise, O Mary, praise the Father, praise thy Savior and thy Son. Praise the everlasting Spirit who hast made thee ark and throne. Over all creatures highly exalted, lowly praise the three in one. Hail Mary, full of grace. Beautiful Antiphon 1. The Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. And we pray Psalm 11 together. Captioned, God is the unfailing support of the just. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. They shall be satisfied. Bible says, Jesus says in Matthew 5:6. In the Lord I have taken my refuge. How can you say to my soul, fly like a bird to its mountain? See the wicked bracing their bow. They are fixing their arrows on the string to shoot upright men in the dark. Foundations once destroyed, what can the just do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord whose throne is in heaven. His eyes look down on the world, his gaze tests mortal men. The Lord tests the just and the wicked, the lover of violence he hates. He sends fire and brimstone on the wicked. He sends a scorching wind as their lot. The Lord is just and loves justice. The upright shall see his face. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord looks tenderly on those who are poor. Antiphon 2. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Another great psalm, especially for today. Psalm 15, "Who is worthy to stand in God's presence?" is the caption. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. The author of the epistles to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:22, our sentence from Scripture to help focus our prayer. Lord, who shall be admitted to your tent and dwell on your holy mountain? He who walks without fault, he who acts with justice and speaks the truth from his heart. He who does not slander with his tongue, he who does no wrong to his brother, who casts no slur on his neighbor, who holds the godless in disdain, but honors those who fear the Lord. He who keeps his pledge, come what may, who takes no interest on a loan and accepts no bribes against the innocent, such a man will stand firm forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Make our lives blameless, Lord. Help us to do what is right and to speak what is true, that we may dwell in your tent and find rest on your holy mountain. Grant this through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they, we shall see God. Antiphon 3 is for Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. God chose us in his Son to be his adopted children. God our Savior. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be his adopted sons through Jesus Christ. Such was his will and pleasure that all might praise the glorious favor he has bestowed on us in his beloved. In him and through his blood, we have been redeemed and our sins forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor to us. God has given us the wisdom to understand fully the mystery, the plan he was pleased to decree in Christ, a plan to be carried out in Christ, in the fullness of time, to bring all things into one in him, in the heavens and on earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God chose us in his Son to be his adopted children. And of course, you can also add a Hail Mary. If you want to make it a Marian office, you can pray one there. For our part, let us pray, read the letter to the Galatians. Chapter 2, verses 11 through chapter 3, verse 14. The just man shall live by faith. When Cephas came to Antioch, I directly withstood him because he was clearly in the wrong. He had been taking his meals with the Gentiles before others came who were from James. But when they arrived, he drew back to avoid trouble with those who were circumcised. The rest of the Jews joined in his disassembling, till even Barnabas was swept away by their pretense. As soon as I observed that they were not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I had this to say to Cephas in the presence of all. If you, who are a Jew, are living according to Gentile ways rather than Jewish, by what logic do you force the Gentiles to adopt Jewish ways? We are Jews by birth, not sinners from Gentile origin. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by legal observance, but by faith in Jesus Christ, we too have believed in him in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Not by observance of the law, for by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we are shown to be sinners, does that mean that Christ is encouraging sin? Unthinkable. If, however, I were to build up the very things I had demolished, I should then indeed be a transgressor. It was through the law that I died to the law to live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I live now is not my own. Christ is living in me. I still live my human life, but it is a life of faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I will not treat God's gracious gift as pointless. If justice is available through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. You senseless Galatians, who has cast a spell over you? You, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was displayed to view upon his cross. I want to learn only one thing from you. How did you receive the Spirit? Was it through observance of the law, or through faith in what you heard? How could you be so stupid? After beginning in the Spirit, are you now to end in the flesh? Have you had such remarkable experiences all to no purpose, if indeed they were to no purpose? Is it because you observe the law, or because you have faith in what you heard, that God lavishes the Spirit on you and works wonders in your midst? Consider the case of Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as justice. This means that those who believe are sons of Abraham, because Scripture saw in advance that God's way of justifying the Gentiles would be through faith. It foretold this good news to Abraham. All nations shall be blessed in you. Thus it is that all who believe are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who depend on observance of the law, on the other hand, are under a curse. It is written, "Cursed is he who does not abide by everything written in the book of the law and carry it out." It should be obvious that no one is justified in God's sight by the law, for the just man shall live by faith. But the law does not depend on faith. Its terms are, whoever does these things shall live by them. Christ has delivered us from the power of the law's curse by himself becoming a curse for us. As it is written, "Accursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree." This has happened so that through Christ Jesus, the blessing bestowed on Abraham might descend on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, thereby making it possible for us to receive the promised Spirit through faith. Responsory prayer. A man is not justified by observing the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made holy, not through the observance of the law, but by faith in him. If holiness comes through keeping the law, then Christ died in vain. We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made holy, not through the observance of the law, but by faith in him. And for our homily, in place of a homily, let us read our second reading, which is really from a letter by Saint Maria Bernadette Soubirous, the French virgin who received this great prophecy of Our Lady of Lourdes. Kind of explains it a little bit. But that's the place where many people go to pilgrimage to bathe in the waters that are from the spring of Lourdes, because God blesses many people there with miraculous healings. Even today, I had gone down one day with two other girls to the bank of the river Gavi, when suddenly I heard a kind of rustling sound. I turned my head toward the field by the side of the river, but the trees seemed quite still, and the noise was evidently not from them. Then I looked up and caught sight of the cave, where I saw a lady wearing a lovely bright white dress with a bright belt. On top of each of her feet was a pale yellow rose, the same color as her rosary beads. At this I rubbed my eyes, thinking I was seeing things. But I put my hands into the fold of my dress, where my rosary was. I wanted to make the sign of the cross, but for the life of me I couldn't manage it, and my hand just fell down. Then the lady made the sign of the cross herself, and at the second attempt I managed to do the same, though my hands were trembling. Then I began to say the rosary while the lady let her beads slip through her fingers without moving her lips. When I stopped saying the Hail Mary, she immediately vanished. I asked my two companions if they had noticed anything, but they said no. Of course, they wanted to know what I was doing, and I told them that I had seen a lady wearing a nice white dress, though I didn't know who she was. I told them not to say anything about it, and they said I was silly to have anything to do with it. I said they were wrong, and I came back next Sunday, feeling myself drawn to the place. Ellipses. The third time I went, the lady spoke to me and asked me to come every day for 15 days. I said I would, and then she said that she wanted me to tell the priests to build a chapel there. She also told me to drink from the stream. I went to the Gavi, the only stream I could see. Then she made me realize she was not speaking of the Gavi, and she indicated a little trickle of water close by. When I got to it, I could only find a few drops, mostly mud. I cupped my hands to catch some liquid without success, and then I started to scrape the ground. I managed to find a few drops of water, but only at the fourth attempt was there sufficient for any kind of drink. The lady then vanished, and I went back home. I went back each day for 15 days, and each time, except one Monday and one Friday, the lady appeared and told me to look for a stream and wash in it, and to see that the priests build a chapel there. I must also pray, she said, for the conversion of sinners. I asked her many times what she meant by that, but she only smiled. Finally, with outstretched arms and eyes looking up to heaven, she told me that she was the Immaculate Conception. During the 15 days, she told me 3 secrets, but I was not to speak about them to anyone, and so far I have not. End of our homily or reflection for this particular feast. Now let us continue with the canticle of our Blessed Virgin Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, is our antiphon. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And now the intercessions for this beautiful feast. Let us glorify our Savior, who chose the Virgin Mary for his mother. Let us ask him, may your mother intercede for us, Lord. Savior of the world, by your redeeming might, you preserved your mother beforehand from all stain of sin. Keep watch over us, lest we sin. You are our Redeemer, who made the Immaculate Virgin Mary your purest home and the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Make us temples of your Spirit forever. Eternal Word, you taught your mother to choose the better part. Grant that in imitating her, we may seek the food that brings life everlasting. King of Kings, you lifted up your mother, body and soul, into heaven. Help us to fix our thoughts on things above. Lord of heaven and earth, you crowned Mary and set her at your right hand as queen. Make us worthy to share this glory. We pray for all the things that we need, and for the healing of anyone, bodily or spiritual, that we desperately feel we need to intercede for. May your mother intercede for us, Lord. Let us gather our prayers into one in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And we have the special final prayer for our last part of the office. God of mercy, we celebrate the feast of Mary, the sinless Mother of God. May her prayers help us to rise above our human weakness. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. I'm not intending to prolong this, but I'm just going to read some of the Church's teaching out of the Catechism, since it seems to fit. this is starting with CCC 1505, moved by so much suffering, Christ not only allows himself to be touched by the sick, but he also makes their miseries his own. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases, but he did not heal all the sick. His healings were signs of the coming of the kingdom of God. They announced a more radical healing, the victory over sin and death through his Passover. On the cross, Christ took upon himself the whole weight of evil and took away the sin of the world, of which illness is only a consequence. By his passion and death on the cross, Christ has given a new meaning to suffering. It can henceforth configure us to him and unite us with his redemptive passion. Heal the sick. Christ invites his disciples to follow him by taking up their cross in their turn. By following him, they acquire a new outlook on illness and the sick. Jesus associates them with his own life of poverty and service. He makes them share in his mission of compassion and healing. So they went about and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So I'm going to just stop there, even though there's more paragraphs. Now, I don't want to get into this, but that word configure is a very strong word for the Catechism. It's the same word the Catechism uses to describe the configuration to Christ that a priest has when he's ordained, or the configuration to Christ given by the sacrament of confirmation, or one of the other sacraments. So a very, very, very strong word when the Catechism says that suffering configures us to Christ. There can be no higher kind of thing in the Catechism's vocabulary than that. Now, I'm not going to go on to do much, because I think we can all have life experiences that we can link pretty easily with that. You know, the shrine is real. It's all been triple verified. The church's standards are incredibly high. I mean, they're not selling things off of those miracles. You got to understand that about the church. The church doesn't make money off of these types of things. It's part of God's work. Yes, they get attention for it. Is the church somehow incentivized to have shrines like this? I don't think so. Have a great rest of your night.